you would turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. And due to kind of time constraint here, I'm just going to read this passage this morning out of the New American Standard instead of the regular King James and then the other. But turn with me in Proverbs 31. We're going to be looking at verses 10 through 31, 22 verses. And there's a special, unique thing that we'll talk about that in just a moment. So if you would stand with me as we hear the Word of God together while I read. Verse 10, it reads like this: "An excellent wife who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night, and she stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also, and he praises her, saying, 'Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates.'" Let's bow for prayer as we come before the Lord today, and just ask the Lord to bless the reading of His Word. And Father, today we do give You thanks again, Lord, for who You are and all that You've given and all that You've done. We pray now that You'll bless our understanding through the reading of Your Word today. And we do pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. In recent weeks, we came to look at the book of 1 Corinthians. The book of 1 Corinthians, a very appropriate book for any age of human history to look at, but especially in our day and time, because the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul wrote, epistle because of the way society was, culture was in the city of Corinth. And the city of Corinth was a very corrupt city, a very corrupt place. And when Paul ended up there on one of his missionary journeys and he preached the cross of Jesus Christ to the people there, I can just only imagine in my mind, because, you know, sin when it is full and sin when it has reached out and it has abundantly filled itself up, people grow weary, people grow tired. And I just feel like when Paul came there with the gospel and others that were with him and he preached to them, people heard something of great value for their lives. Because in the empty life of strong and decadent immorality, people are tired and weary. Sin wears us down and wears people down. And so when Paul went there and he preached the gospel, the people embraced the truth of God. They embraced the Lord, the gospel of Jesus Christ. They embraced the cross of Christ. And Paul writes that in the first chapter there in 1 Corinthians, as we saw. The cross is the central truth of everything. It's the centrality of all life and all living, the Christ life. It is the central truth of the gospel of God. And so this cross, the cross of Christ affects everything in our lives. And I hope that we see that before we're finished here today. So this culture of Corinth, it has it had infiltrated itself into the church after Paul left in his day and time, probably some years later. And it's just the same today in the world today, especially in America. The culture of America, the decadent culture, the immorality that is everywhere has crept and is crept inside to churches in general all across America today. And it is to the detriment of our churches and the detriment to the people of God. So more immorality has become a very prevalent thing, even within the confines or within the walls of churches and the families of churches. So this is a big thing. It's true, when Jesus gave the mandate to go, and we call it the Great Commission, and give out the gospel, he says, while you are going, well, that phrase, while you are going, means in the relationships that you make while you're living your life. It'd be another way to apply what he was saying there. So, and here in Proverbs chapter 31, we're talking about relationships. Actually, the entire book of Proverbs is about right relationships. Relationships with men and women with one another. So these are big things that are under attack in our nation, in our country, and our culture today. This idea of men and women and relationships with each other. So we kind of have to come and ask ourselves some questions, because things are just being kind of twisted up, you know, redefining what things really are, what marriage is, and what it means to be a man, what it means to be a woman. So what does it mean to be a man? What does it mean to be a woman? Well, we kind of, what's the one first, when I said that question, what does it mean to be a man? How many of you thought of John Wayne? Anybody? That's you, and you know, you go and study a little bit about his life and you won't do that anymore. But that's the ideal for a long time in this nation and this country, with the modern day times with Hollywood and all that. So what does it mean to be a man? What does it mean to be a woman? Do you know, ladies, your position in life, your position in this world is being redefined and refined just almost constantly. So the question is God's design for men and women, is it unique? Each for a man, for one. Yes, it is. And I think we'll see. I hope we'll get some of the answer. We can't get it all. There's too much here for us today. But God has great things for people, for men and women, for us, those who know him. And so what happens when a man and woman come together in marriage? What is supposed to take place there? What is to happen there? So do you have to, one of the big questions today, do you have to be a man and a woman to be married? That's a big thing that's being redefined for us in our day and time and our culture here. So as we come to look at this, there are questions and other questions, many questions in our culture today. So the question that I want to present to us today is, how does the cross of Jesus Christ uniquely give value and honor and dignity and beauty to what it means to be a woman? A woman who's created by God. And I believe specifically a Christian woman. How does the cross of Jesus Christ define what that really is? How does that affect life as a woman who has been created by God? In Proverbs chapter 31, if you haven't already noticed, probably for many years of our lives, and those who are younger, maybe not so much, but what we have here, beginning at verse 10, going through verse 31, is the picture of a perfect woman. Now, how many ladies here fit that? A perfect woman. Okay, I know you're all, you have a big smile on her face. Thank you for raising your hand and answering that. Picture of a perfect woman. Everything this woman does is filled with perfection. Why? Because it is in the context of wisdom. It is in the context of the wisdom of God and the wisdom of Christ. And the ultimate purpose of God is to pursue Christ and to portray Christ in every area, in every aspect. So this is a picture of a woman who has wisdom. wisdom as the guide for her life and in her life. And so she doesn't, I don't want you to be discouraged and say, okay, I can never live up to this. You know, there are two or three ways we can, ladies can look at this, and even men can look at this. Well, you know, this is perfection. I'm not perfect. I can't. So don't be discouraged. Then there are others who may say, well, there's just too much here, and you know, I'm just going to give up and just live my life. I don't care. I can't live it. Nobody can live it. But you see, let's compare this to what we find in the New Testament with Jesus Christ. With Christ, is he not the perfection of God? Is he not the perfection of a man? God made for himself a physical human body, the man Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. He was perfect. When he was here, he is perfect now. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Does that discourage you and me from pursuing the perfection of God for our lives? No. It doesn't. So don't become discouraged. Don't become disheartened. Don't throw up your hands and say, I can't, I give up, and whatever. And then there are those who say, well, you know what? I've messed up in my life, and I can't do this. I can't fulfill this. So you know this, the picture of the perfection of Christ, of God in Christ in the New Testament, we want to say that we want to be more like him for sure. But you know, here in Proverbs 31, this portrayal is a portrayal of God's wisdom. This is the pursuit that all should have for God, but especially ladies, especially mothers, especially women and wives or single women, whichever category you may be in. We think, well, in today's world, we have this twisted view. We have this perverted view of what it means to be a woman or to become this or that or to be a Christ-like woman. That is the portrayal. That is the message that is here found in Proverbs chapter 31. So if you say, I have the feeling there's no hope for me, I've messed up, I have good news for you. Because in the context of the cross of Jesus Christ, all things are made new. You see, we can't just stop here at Proverbs 31. We have to fast forward from Proverbs 31 in the Old Testament all the way up to the cross of Christ in his day and time. And even now, up until 2014, in the month of March, May, that we're here. And so, it's Christ makes all things new. The cross of Jesus Christ interprets every area of our lives. So, I'm here to state today before all of us, especially this is Mother's Day, so we're making an emphasis here this morning for ladies and for mothers, that all things are new in Christ, and no matter what your past has been, no matter what brought you to where you are today, it is the cross of Christ that is crucial. It is the cross of Christ. And for men and for young men who put off the idea of, well, you know, the world pushes us, all of us, as young men and young women, unmarried men, unmarried women today, the push is, don't put family first in your life, but rather get your education. You need the education. I'm not against that. Don't misunderstand me there. Then you get a big paying job, a good paying job, and a big house and a nice house and nice big toys and all that stuff. That's the push of our culture and our society today. That's not what lines up with Scripture and what the Bible tells us. So we need to stop prolonging our adolescence in this world, in this life, especially young guys, unmarried guys. We need to get over some things and move on with what God wants us to do. So with that in mind, I want us to look at Proverbs chapter 31. And to begin to think of this morning, this confused culture that we live in, where all the wrong stuff and mixed up stuff is being promoted and given out to us, for the ladies, for the women. The admonition today out of Proverbs and even out of Corinthians and other portions of parts of Scripture are their women. Be Christ-like and become Christ-like. That's the message. This is the wisdom of God in its height in the life of a woman. And so be Christ-like and become Christ-like. And so with that being said, then it is the mercy of God that covers your past. It doesn't make any difference what has happened happened to you, what you've done in your world, in your life. You cannot mess up so much that God cannot take care of it, because the mercy of God covers your past, takes away all the guilt from everything in the past. Also, the presence of God empowers your present. The power of God in you, if you know Christ and He is in you, then He empowers you today. He empowers you now to pursue the things that God has dedicated, has ordained for you to experience in this world and this life. What about the future? The hope of God guarantees your future. The hope of God guarantees that you have a hope that cannot be stolen, cannot be taken away, cannot be diminished in any way, shape, or form. And so that's for the ladies. Then today, for the married men who are here with us today, what does the Bible tell us? What do scriptures teach us? It says to love and to nurture a Christ-like wife. Think about that. Love and nurture a Christ-like wife. Let me look over on the screen of the scriptures here. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, Peter wrote, "Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them, your wives, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, so that your prayers would not be hindered." Now, in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 28, Paul wrote, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church." How did Christ love the church? By laying down His life. By putting everything on the line. And now Paul admonishes husbands, love your wives just like Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. Now notice in the next two verses, verse 26, that He might sanctify, Christ did it so that He might sanctify and cleanse the church with the washing of the water by the word of God. Verse 27, that He might present the church to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Then the final verse here, verse 28. So ought men, just like Christ did this for the church, for this purpose and this reason, so ought men to love their wives as they love their own bodies. And he that loves his wife loves also himself. So for married men here, love and nurture a Christ-like wife. Single men, I'm not leaving you out, single men, pray for and seek out a Christ-like wife. Young men, unmarried men, pray that God will put the right Christ-like woman in your life at the right time. You ought to be praying right now. I've heard of parents who, before their children were born, while the children were still in the womb, started praying for the right spouse. If they knew it was a son, they prayed for the right wife. If they knew if it was a girl, they were praying for the right husband for their daughter. Pray and seek out a Christ-like wife. And just as Paul wrote, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church," so that ought to be your mindset for life. Now for the church as a whole, for everyone in the church, so we ought to praise Christ-like women as we promote Christ-likeness in women. That's very important. I love the women's ministry in this church. There's several aspects of that going on. And it's powerful. It's good. It's blessed. And so the women's ministry helps to do that. But the church as a whole, we are to praise Christ-likeness in women. So we have the women, we have the men, we have the unmarried men and single men and that type of thing. Now let's come and look at Proverbs chapter 31. Now when we begin at verse 10 and go through 31, there are 22 verses. And there's something unique, and I didn't really realize this part of Proverbs was written like this, but how many of you have heard of an acrostic before? You know what an acrostic is? You write something out and then, you know, like joy, Jesus first, others second, yourself last. That's an example of one of them, a simple one there. But these 22 verses, the Hebrew alphabet has 22 letters in it. The Hebrew alphabet has no vowels in it. It's all consonants. And what is written here, it begins in verse 10 with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, which is Aleph. And so the first word in verse 10 in Hebrew, in the original language there, that first word starts with the letter Aleph. In verse 11 is the second letter of the alphabet, the letter Bet. And so all the way down through all 22 letters of the alphabet. Now, the Scripture's done this in several places so that when parents are training and teaching their sons and their daughters while they're young and little, while they're growing up and they teach them to read, they would teach them the alphabet by these things. And so that would make these things more important. It put it into the hearts of young men, young boys, and young daughters, the things of God and the things that God wants to do. So because this is a very lengthy passage of Scripture and everything, I'm just going to choose a five-letter acrostic. And everybody can probably spell it. We'll take the word woman since this is Mother's Day. So how do you spell woman? W-O-M-A-N. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to do this quickly here this morning and look at Proverbs 31 and gather some jewels, glean some gold or some treasures out of these verses. Not by any means not going to exhaust this. So the first letter, W, is that the characteristics of a Christ-like woman is that she is wise. The W stands for wise. Because she fears God, the Bible says, her value cannot be fathomed. Look at verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies, or her price is far above jewels. So because she fears God, where does that come from? It comes from the first chapter and the second chapter and the third chapter of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fearing of God is the place where Christ-likeness begins. And so because she fears God, her value cannot be fathomed. Because she fears God, she boldly faces the future. Look at verse 25. Verse 25 says, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. So because she fears God, she boldly faces the future. She can do that. Then, because she fears God, because of wisdom, she fears God, her beauty will never fade. Look at verse 30. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Because she fears God, her beauty will never fade. That's the W. A wise woman. A wise woman. She is wise. If she's Christ-like, she is wise then. Then the letter O, the second letter of this word, is she is the overseer of her home. And this is an amazing passage of Scripture as far as what a woman does and what this woman did. As a wife, she is a helper to her husband, and because she is a helper to her husband and she lives her life according to wisdom, he trusts in her. He trusts her with his heart. Look at verse 11. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. So he trusts her with his heart, but he also trusts her with his household. These verses that talk about how she rules the household that she is over there and she is the overseer of. We see great things, powerful things. And by the way, you know, some of the old time or old, some of the old church ideas, I'd say true Christian ideas, not so, but says women should stay home and not work and all of this. This is not what we see here, is it? That's not what we see here. I mean, she takes care of the home for sure. That is her priority. But at the same time, she's a good businesswoman. Do you read these verses? Reread them when you get home. She was an entrepreneur. She was a good business person. And she prospered. God prospered her. None of this stuff in the world today. What does the world say today to you ladies, to the ladies in the world? It says, if you're a stay-at-home mom and everything, then you're nobody. There's something wrong with you. That's the message from our culture today. And it's not so. I mean, look at what this woman did, what she accomplished, what happened there. She had it all. She had a a beautiful home, a wonderful home, a well-guided home in her life there. She had that. And at the same time, she had business ventures and things that she took care of. And God prospered her and God blessed her. So the husband trusts her with his household and also with his good. And so because of those things, she is devoted to his success. Look at verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he is sitting among the elders of the land. So she's devoted to his success. That's part of what she does there. And she delights in his satisfaction. And so with these things, he trusts her. And he trusts her also with his reputation. And that's what a godly, Christ-like woman is. And that's who she is. And that's what she does. But he not only trusts her, but he also honors her. And this is important for us to see this morning. He honors her as a mother. She prioritizes her care for her children. We see that interlaced here in these verses that are written out here. And so how does she prioritize her love, her care for children? By she loves them. She loves them. And how aptly that was shared today in the special music that Patty sang. And shared the story of a previous occasion when what's sitting next to her now was that little and all that sort of stuff. And that's what happens. So she loves them. The mother loves her children. But she also lays down her life for them. Not only that, but she lives to make her legacy. Look at verse 28. Her children, when all is said and done, her children arise up and call her blessed. And they bless her. And her husband also, and he praises her. She leaves a godly legacy. Wow. Does it get any better than that? Yeah, it does. Let's look at it. She is the W-O-M-M, and woman, M stands for mighty. She's mighty in her work. Do you see the strength? Do you see the power that was in each of these verses and everything that was laid out here? The strength that is there, she is mighty in her work. Look at verse 17 and verse 25. Verse 17 says, she girds her loins with strength and strengthens her arms. Drop down to verse 35. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. So she is mighty in her work. Wow, what the power of wisdom, the power of Christ-likeness. And she has willing and skillful hands. Look at verse 13. She seeks wool and flax and works willingly with her hands. Drop down to verse 19. She lays her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. Then drop down to verse 27. She looks well to the ways of her household and eats not the bread of idleness. She is willing and she is skillful in what she does with her hands. She is also innovative and she's industrious in spirit. Look at verse 15. She rises also while it is yet night and gives meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Verse 16, she considers a field and then she buys it. She's a real estate agent. She's good at it. She knew how to get it. She probably got the best bargain out there and got the most for it. And with the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard. She's not satisfied to go to the apple store and buy grapes. She's going to plant her own vineyard. She's going to reach out. She's going to blossom out. As you see, there's no restrictions. Wisdom knows no bounds. And then drop down to verse 24. She makes fine linen and sells it and delivers girdles unto the merchants. So she's innovative. She's industrious in what she does. She also has an intelligent mind. And she has a strong body. We already read that in verse 17. She's mighty in what she does there. So then the fourth letter in this acrostic, A, for she's attractive in all the right ways. And you know, sometimes people read in the New Testament and they say, oh, ladies aren't supposed to make themselves look nice and attractive like that. That's not what this shows. And if you would turn over a little bit later in the book of Song of Solomon, that's certainly, she makes herself attractive for who? For all men out there? No, for her husband. For her husband. So she's attractive in all all the right ways. Her words are kind. Her works are admirable. Her dress is tasteful. Look at verse 30. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman fears the Lord, she shall be praised. And her demeanor is delightful, and her husband is both pleased and he's proud of her. There's one other letter here. That is the last letter N, and she is a neighbor to the needy. She gives generously to others. Verse 20, she stretches out her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She's generous to the poor and to the needy. And she doesn't ignore the poor, but she initiates compassion out of her life. And then she serves sacrificially. And in losing her life, she finds it. Now, that's the acrostic this morning. But there's some other things we're going to look at just here very quickly. Who is Proverbs 31 written to?
Sheila.
Who?
Sheila. King Lemuel.
Okay, verse 31, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him.
Solomon.
But who is it for?
Okay.
Okay, we're getting closer. For the men to follow? Specifically. Yep, specifically. For unmarried men. We have a few.
It is.
You think this is written for a woman? Well, it's there for their admonition to reach out as far as wisdom will let any woman, any Christ-like woman, any godly woman, to reach out for the best that God has. But at the same time, it's written for young, unmarried men. When you seek out a wife in your life, seek out one who has these qualities and who has these characteristics. The world does not do that. We live in a society and a culture today where it says seek a relationship. Not with God, not with Christ, but seek a relationship. Young men with a young lady with a young man. What happens? They get together, they have this relationship, they break up, and then they separate, and then they come back and forth, till they get tired of that. Then they find someone else, they go back and forth like that. All this is an exercise in divorce, and everybody doesn't agree with that, but I'm telling you what, finding people and breaking up is not the will of God. And Proverbs 31, beginning with verse 10, going down through verse 31, is God's admonition to young, unmarried men to seek a wife. To seek a wife that will be Christ-like and godly in all of these ways. And you can't just thumb through the ladies of the world on your way up there. What is the book of Proverbs about anyway? The whole book of Proverbs is a warning to young men against the wrong kind of woman in your life. Chapter 7 warns against the adulterous woman. Chapter 2 and chapter 30, a warning against unfaithful women. Chapter 7 also a warning against women who neglect their families. Chapter 6 is a warning against women who bankrupts her family. And chapter 27, who is a contentious woman. And so there are all these characteristics that cause all the way through the book of Proverbs, it's there. And so pray for the right kind of woman. Young men, seek out a Christ-like woman for your life. Seek it more than you seek for an education. You seek an education. Seek training for your life. Seek those things. You've got to make it in this life and this world. But make the priority of who your mate will be. Make that the top priority of your life. There's a lady named Dorothy Patterson. She's the wife of Dr. Paige Patterson. I believe he's still the president of Southwestern Seminary. And she's a professor there, but she has an incredible, I had never heard of her before until I kind of ran across this. And listen to what she said. She has written books on womanhood, on motherhood, and all kinds of things, a variety of things. She's premium in what she does because she's so well-versed in the Scriptures. Here's a partial quote from something that she wrote. She says, "A few women realize that the great service they are doing for mankind and for the kingdom of Christ when they provide a shelter for their family and good mothering, a foundation on which all else is built. A mother builds something far more magnificent than any cathedral, the dwelling place for a mortal soul." And that's the calling of a mother. And there are other things here, but just no professional pursuit uniquely combines the most menial task with the meaningful opportunities that of being a mother actually has. Now, I want to do something this morning, because we could have done a whole lot more in time constraints and that type of thing. But I think we need to do something while we're here today, while these things are on our mind. Do something while we're here today. We've done it a little bit, but I want us to do it in a more specific way at this time. In a few moments, I'm going to ask every woman here to stand. Every woman. And if you're 4 years old, 5 years old, 10 years old, you're still a woman. If you're 80 years old, you're still a woman. I'm going to ask all the women to stand in just a moment. And, yeah, just a moment. She's anxious to do. No, I'm just kidding. And then, men, here's what we're going to do. We're going to praise these ladies. You know, because the design and the purpose of God is for Christ-likeness in the heart and the life of every woman. And we're going to do that by applauding. Now, when we do this, we have to have these instructions, guys. Ladies, you understand this. Because here's what we're going to... I want you to pretend that you're at the most exciting Thunder basketball game, or your favorite football game, or anything else that you applaud and get all excited about, because if you're not as excited or more excited about what we've seen and read here and about ladies and the design and purpose of God for ladies and women in our life, then you need to repent. We're going to do this. And then after we've done that, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for the ladies. And men are going to pray silently, but I'm going to lead in the prayer for this. So I want all you ladies, all the ladies, stand up. I don't care what age you are. If you're a female, stand up, because you are a woman in the making. And the Christ-likeness of God for you in your life. And we want you to know, men, we need to learn more about this. We need to come to share and to declare and to do what Scripture says. We applaud the ladies here today. So men, are you ready? I mean, you can't just, if I see you, I'm going to call out your name and have you come down here and lead the rest of the men in this. But let's come and let's give. Now, we're not here to glorify the ladies. We're applauding the ladies and giving glory to God because of the way God has instituted for you ladies to be. So this is an encouragement to you to be Christ-like in absolute ways in your lives. And we're giving God the glory by the applause, but we're praising you at the same time. So please understand. So men, let's do that. Right now, let's go. Amen. Okay, men, you can stand up and applaud now. Okay, remain standing. Did that feel right? It's good. And you know, God honors the things that He says in His Word. I'm almost to bow for prayer.